We turn now to the Word of God. We are continuing our series called Kingdom Come as we journey through some of the middle chapters of Matthew's Gospel. We're looking at Matthew chapter 17 today, page 984 in your pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and reading through to verse 21. It is the story of the event known as the Transfiguration and continues into some of the passages that follow that particular event. Page 984, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 21. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." We end our reading there, and we thank God for his word. There is a scene in the story of Alice in Wonderland, the part of the story where she meets the Cheshire Cat. She meets the Cheshire Cat at a crossroads. There's a sign with all different directions on that sign, with all sorts of strange and odd things written on there. And Alice says to the cat, "I was wondering, would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" "That depends a good deal," says the cat, "on where it is that you want to go." To which Alice replies, "I don't care much where." And the cat says to her, "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." The transfiguration of Jesus comes at an important crossroads in Jesus' ministry. But Jesus does know where he is going. He does know the direction of his journey and where he is heading. In terms of the gospel, Jesus is now heading towards Jerusalem. He is starting to move towards the cross and towards the tomb that he will leave empty after 3 days. But of course, Jesus' journey is going to take him far beyond that. Jesus' journey now takes him to the throne, where the Lamb who was slain will sit and reign over a kingdom that will last for all eternity. Up to this point in the gospel, Jesus' ministry was focused on bringing the kingdom closer, of showing glimpses of the kingdom of God through the healing of sick, through the feeding of the hungry, through calming the storms in people's lives. And in this passage, it tells us of an event where we are given a glimpse, a picture of the resurrected Jesus, of the one who will reign over the kingdom that is to come. But we are also reminded that there is still work to be done, that the kingdom has not yet fully come, but that we as followers of Jesus are called to offer the world glimpses of the kingdom when we join in the work that Jesus is already doing in this world. In her 1976 Christmas message, Queen Elizabeth II told us to remember that good spreads outwards and every little does help. Mighty things from small beginnings grow, as indeed they grew from the small child of Bethlehem. The kingdom grows as we take part in the work that Jesus is doing, often in the smallest of ways, often in the transformation of individual lives. But through these small works of the kingdom grows. Peter's response to this incredible and what can only be explained or described as a holy experience was to suggest that the best idea was to stay where they were. It is good for us to be here, Peter says, and then suggests that they build some sort of shelter, something permanent where Jesus and his two Old Testament companions can stay. Peter wants to stay where they are. He wants to erect a structure. He wants to protect the moment. It is good for us to be here. And so he wants to hold on to that moment for as long as possible. Isn't Peter so much like each one of us? Let me explain what I mean. Last week, Norman spoke about events in Matthew 16. You might only remember Norman speaking about weddings and brides, but he spoke about more than that. He spoke about the time when Peter declares Jesus as the Christ. But following on from this declaration, Jesus explains to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter doesn't like what he hears. Peter loved Jesus and he didn't want things to change. Peter only wanted his experiences of Jesus to be good experiences. He doesn't want the pain and the hurt and the difficulties and the suffering that comes with being a follower of Jesus. And so when he finds himself on this mountaintop with Jesus and there is this incredible event taking place, and as the cloud descends, we know that is saying that the presence of the Lord has descended upon them and is this incredible thing happening. Peter just wants it to stay as it is. This is how it's supposed to be. And he wants to preserve the moment and hold on to it for as long as possible. He doesn't want things to change. He doesn't want to go back down into the valley where Jesus is going to be crucified and where something terrible might happen to him because he's a follower of Jesus. What lies down below is an unknown future. He didn't want to go back to where Jesus is questioned and challenged and disliked and persecuted by the Pharisees. He didn't want to go back down there where the sick and the dying and the hungry and the possessed people were so demanding of Jesus and his time. No, this is a good place to be. Isn't it lovely being here? Let's build a shelter. Let's build something to mark this place as the place where Jesus spoke with Moses and Elijah. And let's never leave it because it's such a good place to be. It's a safe place to be. This is the closest where we will experience the kingdom that is to come before it comes. So let's not leave here. But they cannot stay there. They must leave the mountaintop because there is still so much to do in the valley below. It is all good and well that Peter and James and John get to experience the kingdom that is to come in such a wonderful way, but the rest of the world, a hurting and broken world, needs to experience that kingdom too. In Christian Orthodox church buildings, they're different from the buildings of other Christian traditions. While most other church buildings will have a steeple that will point us towards God who is up in the heavens, the Orthodox church buildings have a dome that represent the heavens come down. When you enter into an Orthodox building, the inside of that dome, the ceiling of that dome is painted that depicts Christ in the heavens above, surrounded by cherubim. And the inside of the church depicts the throne room of heaven, as it's described in the vision given to Isaiah in Isaiah 6. It is done to symbolize that this is a place where heaven and earth meet. And sometimes we can also think of our sacred places in this way. We call our churches the house of God. We say that we are entering into the presence of God when we come to church. We ask God to meet with us here. We invite His Holy Spirit to come and be present with us. All these phrases talk of a thinking that says, God is here, I am here, and this is a place where we meet with God. But the truth is that whether we are on the mountaintop or in the valleys below, we meet with God in both places. God's glory can be experienced in both places. God's kingdom comes near in both places. The painting of the Transfiguration by Raphael reminds us of this. It was his last painting. It was left unfinished at his death, and two of his students finished the painting. It shows Jesus being transfigured between Moses and Elijah. And this event all happens at the top of the painting. While at the bottom, what we see is the demon-possessed boy and all his family, the demon-possessed boy who will be healed by Jesus. This painting reminds us that in spite of what is happening at the top of the painting, there is still much to be done in the valleys below. On the mountaintop is where God's glory shines. On the mountaintop is where the holy people of God are. Down there is where it's messy and dirty. Down there is where the people are who want to persecute and kill Jesus. But they had to go back down the mountain. They had to go where things were messy, because that is where the work needed to be done. In her 1980 Christmas message, Queen Elizabeth II reminded us that in difficult times, we may be tempted to find excuses for self-indulgence and to wash our hands of responsibility. We need to go out and look for opportunities to help those less fortunate than ourselves, she said, even if that service demands sacrifice. Obedience to Jesus isn't just about being in the holy places. Obedience to Jesus is also about being in the messy, broken places where Jesus is needed. So the next day, they headed down the mountain. They went down to the valleys below, and they saw the mess, and they saw all that evil and death were doing to these people. And it was just as they had seen time and time again before they went up the mountain with Jesus. They saw a crowd of people gathered. People who were in need, people who were sick, people who were desperate to be delivered from evil and the effects of evil. But what they also encountered immediately were the limits to their own power to deal with everything that was happening there. A father cries out to Jesus for help for his son because Jesus' disciples couldn't do anything. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could do nothing. The disciples could not do it on their own. And perhaps when we're confronted with our own limitations, we can become scared. We can easily start thinking that it's not worth trying, or it's not for me to try. I know that there's work to be done, but God can use somebody else far more capable than me. Why bother trying? We're told that when the disciples on the mountaintop heard a voice come out of the cloud, they were so afraid that they threw themselves to the ground and they buried their faces in the ground. And as they were lying there, absolutely terrified, not wanting to look up and see what was before them or what lay ahead of them, Jesus speaks to them and says, get up. Get up and do not be afraid. How easy it is for us to get into routines of comfort where we don't have to face risk. Let's stay in our church buildings. Let's keep things just as they are. Let this be the place, and only this be the place where we experience Jesus. We don't want to do things differently. We don't want to be unpredictable. Let's stay here. Let's stay in the shelter that we have built as a special place. But this is not what God wants of us. It's not what God asks of us. Get up, Jesus says. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to leave this place. Don't be afraid to go down the mountains into the valleys where people will demand things of you, where people might not even like you, where they will want to try to silence you, maybe even threaten to persecute you. You cannot stay in this safe place, because when you chose to follow Jesus, you didn't choose a safe option. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go into the places where God is calling you. Because when Jesus says to them, don't be afraid, when Jesus says to them to get up, when Jesus makes clear to them that there is work still to be done down in the valleys below, Jesus doesn't let them go off alone. Jesus doesn't say, get up, don't be afraid, and off you go. Jesus, he goes with them. He goes down the mountain with them, and he helps them, because he knows that we cannot do the work on our own. He goes with them because the God that we worship is a shepherd who walks with his sheep, who leads them to green pastures, who leads them to still waters, and who leads them through the darkest of valleys. He is with us on the mountaintops, and he is with us in the valleys. In our Christian life, we can create so many wonderful and safe mountaintop experiences of the kingdom. Our Sunday worship in the morning, open space happening tonight. What a wonderful place and space just to be in the presence of God. When we gather in our homes for our life group meetings, on a Wednesday morning in Hope House, Sunday nights when the movement gather, all our different prayer meetings, wonderful opportunities of coming together with God's people and meeting with God. Mountaintop experiences. Times when we feel the presence of God. Times when we know that Jesus is King of all things. When we seek him, when we find him, when we listen to him. And it is good to be there in those places. It is good to be there in those moments. And we want to stay because that's what it means for us to be in the presence of God. It's a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. But there is a world out there, a messy and broken world that desperately needs the kingdom to come near to them, that needs to experience the kingdom and the presence of the King. We can stay where we are. We can stay comfortable. But the call of the kingdom is a call that disturbs us from our comfort. It is a call from our mountain that takes us from our mountaintop places to the valley below, so that the kingdom can be experienced there by people who desperately need to know that there is a King who loves them, who can restore them, who can heal them. Get up, Jesus says. Like Alice at her crossroads, you might not be sure where it is that you are going, but Jesus knows where you need to be. He knows where he wants to lead you. So get up. Follow him. He will go with you wherever it is that he is taking you to be. We must go to the places where the kingdom needs to come near. We are called to be people of light in a world of darkness. Jesus calls us to those places of darkness. How wonderful it is to gather here and the light shines brightly in this place, but the light also needs to shine out there. Get up, Jesus says. Let's go. Let's take the kingdom into the world. And don't be afraid. He goes with us every step of the way. Let us pray. God, I thank you for your kingdom that we experience in places like this. A kingdom where you are King. and we feel your presence, and it is wonderful to be with the people, and we see a foretaste of the multitude gathered together worshiping the King. But we also know that your kingdom is a place where there is no sadness and where there is no suffering, where there is no hunger and there is no death, and where there is no sickness. And so, God, we recognize that for that experience to be true for so many people, we need to go into the places where they are hungry so that we can feed them, where there are the sick so we can be with them and pray for them. And maybe even in the roles that you have given us in our workplace as doctors and nurses, we can help them to heal. That there are places where death has come and people are grieving and mourning, and so we come as your people to bring comfort. The kingdom is not just experienced on the mountaintop. It needs to be experienced in the valleys below, and you call us to go and not to be afraid, because you go with us. And so for each one of us today, God, I pray for the courage to get up and not be afraid, for the strength to walk alongside you, and for the reassurance to know that you go with us, and that there is nothing that we need to do on our own. It is all done in your power, because without you, we cannot do your work. You equip us, and you send us, and you go with us, and we thank you for that assurance. We pray this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.